Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by DraftKings.com. We got another big weekend of DraftKings coming up this next Sunday. I know for a fact your season-long fantasy team is in the dumps, but DraftKings.com has you covered. One-week fantasy football you can play. You can pick your team that day. It is the best way to spend your Sunday. Renew old rivalries with friends and play them every week, or try the 50-50 contest where the top half of all entries win cash. Even if your current fantasy team is circling the drain, you can still win huge cash prizes at DraftKings. Don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com right now. Use code BIGCAT and play for free with your first deposit. That's code BIGCAT, B-I-G-C-A-T, to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Do it only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Go to DraftKings.com right now. Over $1 million coming up this weekend. BIGCAT is the promo code. Put it in and play. DraftKings.com. We're also brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your tickets online. It is safe. They have the best prices, the best deals, and it's 100% guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. If you're a Cubs fan out there, you're trying to go to Cleveland for Game 6, go use SeatGeek. If you're just a football fan trying to find some tickets, maybe your college team or NFL, SeatGeek has it all, and they have the best deals, like I said. So here's what you're going to do. Go download the SeatGeek app right now. Go to Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. They're literally sending you money back for buying tickets. You're getting paid to buy tickets. So go buy those tickets. Use SeatGeek app, download it, and go to the Settings tab, click Add a Promo Code, enter that promo code TAKE, and they will send you $20. So do it right now. Go download that SeatGeek app and go to a game on us. SeatGeek app, promo code TAKE, do it. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, October 31st. And the Redskins and the Bengals had a little game on the pitch on Sunday.
The lads strapped on their boots and went out. They got a result. Not the result they wanted, but a result indeed, nonetheless.
They got a point for the table, and a draw is a draw. It's still a nice result when you're playing away.
Is the thing. An overtime draw is not the worst result in the world.
Anytime you can get on the pitch and get a point, you got to do it.
You're absolutely right, Boone.
The Redskins tie the Bengals 27-27.
Josh McCown used his right arm to abstain from scoring, but looked like he was going blind in the second half. Masturbation and winning football games, two things the McCown family does not participate in. Jets crumple the Browns up like a used Kleenex, 31-28.
He was a Buffalo dildo in the heart of Bills Mafia, stolen from the tailgate and thrown into the red zone. He was a Buffalo dildo in the heart of Bills Mafia. Dildo, dildo. Dildo.
Brady and Gronk insert 41 points into Rob Ryan's defense. Patriots penetrate Bills 41-25. What?
Let's take it to New Orleans for the final play. Seahawks down 5. Russell Wilson takes a snap. Whoop! And whoop! And whoop! 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 And psh, and it's incomplete as the Saints throw Seattle across the market like a dead fish. You can wrap this one up in the newspaper. Saints go marching 25-20.
Some spread.
Arson Palmer burned himself to the ground as Arians continue to have trouble fighting wars when traveling east. Panthers panzer the Cardinals 30-20.
You gotta know when to hold them. You gotta know when to Nick Foles them. Chiefs call the Colts bluff, and the Andrew Luck runs out when Chuck Pagano puts all his quick coins into the middle. Andy Reid throws his weight around at the table, but don't comp him that free buffet. Chiefs double down on Colts, 30-14.
Close enough, Boom. Lions need a little home improvement. As their two-minute power drill runs out of batteries, the rocket ship had enough power tools to get off the ground and launch the Texans into victory orbit. Houston wins 20-13. Whoop!
Devontae Morgan Freeman and Matty Natty Ice put the Falcons on a march of the Penguins across the frozen tundra.
The game was in Atlanta, Boom.
Aaron Rodgers lays an egg that gets frozen like the tundra of Lambeau Field.
The game was in Atlanta, Boom.
Look out below. Geronimo Allison wasn't enough to break the Packers' fall in Atlanta as they lose big, 33-32.
You're absolutely right, Boom.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston, Tampa, Florida. Such a fine sight to see. It's Derek Carr, my lord, throwing four long scores, and the Raiders win in OT. Come on, Crabtree, not another penalty. I gotta know how many more times they're gonna flag me.
The Raiders put their greatest hits on the Buccaneers, 30-24.
Philip Seymour Hoffman Rivers was knocking on the Antonio Pearly gates, but Devontae Booker was better than the movie as Trevor Siemian's screenplays write them off. Broncos ride the white horse all over the Chargers, 27-19, and let's hope Wade Philip Seymour Hoffman has a very speedy recovery.
Tick, 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 tick. What? And a 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 what? Dak Lives Matter again in Dallas as Sean Lee Dungarees shows off his jeans and buttons up Carson Wentz in the pocket. Doug Peterson disappoints his father, and the Eagles lose 29-23 in overtime.
You're absolutely right, Boom.
What? And a what? And a what? What? What?
All right, that was week 8.
Yeah.
Fastest 2 minutes. Had to really get it.
I'm sweating right now.
Just want to throw out a thank you to whoever in this studio decided to fart right before we started that.
I have no idea who that
Pretty
could
sure
be.
It was Hank. Maybe PFT.
Yes, yeah, it was definitely.
Okay, so that added a little extra spice. It is All Hallows Eve, and the Cubs are still alive.
How about that?
How about that?
They got dressed up as World Series champion today.
Aroldis Chapman, what
is
a game.
Is it a costume, or is it for real?
We don't know. So the Cubs facing elimination. I was in Chicago for games three and four. Sorry, my memory is already fading me. Games 3 and 4, they were brutal, brutal games. Came back, watched game 5 with the boys here, and the Cubs staved off elimination. Aroldis Chapman was... That was a performance that I didn't expect him to come out up with because he's usually like a one-inning guy.
Yep.
But, you know, I think he had 8 outs that he got through.
You know what I love about Chapman is growing up watching baseball, I always thought that a closer, that they were just a closer, right? I thought it was a completely different skill set from being a starting pitcher.
Yep.
I was like, no, this guy only throws in the ninth. He throws in the ninth and that's it. You can't ask him to throw another inning. And Chapman fully embodies that. You got by on him a little bit today. But, like, all he wants to do is get 3 outs. Yeah, don't ask him to cover first base.
Nope.
Don't ask him to even, like, take
– move.
He's got, like, a 10 – like, an invisible fence that he's got around the pitcher's mound.
Yep.
And if he goes across it, his shot collar goes off.
Yep.
And don't ask him to hit.
Nope.
Don't ask him to swing a bat. Don't ask him to do anything except throw gas.
Yes.
9 times. He can throw gas 9 times.
Yep. Throw it. So the series goes back to Cleveland. Kyle Schwarber back in this series. He was – obviously absent the last 3 games, except for a pop-out in game 3. So it should be interesting. It's going to be a fun time.
What's your confidence meter at right now?
Well, I mean...
Let me get a reading.
Jake Arrieta,
I'm a sports fan. Give me a percentage.
Okay. I'm 70% confident that the Cubs can get to game 7.
Okay.
Anything can happen in game 7.
That's true. Okay, then game 7 is 50-50, so...
Yeah, kids, game 7 is a coin flip. You know that.
Was that 30? Your 35% chances that the Cubs win the World Series.
50 divided by 70. We're not stats guys.
Okay. So the Cubs could win the World Series, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything could happen. The midges might come back in Cleveland.
Need those midges.
The rally midges.
Yeah. What else we got? I mean, it was a bad week. I had a bad 2 days in Chicago, obviously, because of the losses. Darren Revell was walking around the streets of...
Did you run into him?
I did not. He was walking around the streets of Wrigleyville putting a price tag on every experience that you could have as a sports fan.
If Darren Revell made one of those MasterCard signs, the, like, tickets, $400, he would need, like, 100 different posters to, like, write up all the things that he spent going to the game.
Or like, tickets... $400 plus service fees, and also it's just for this seat, and the seat next to it actually went for $419 because it sold 2 days before when the market was a little higher.
Darren loves service fees. He gladly pays them.
Loves to talk about the ticket market, too.
Yeah.
It's a big time thing.
Yeah, so obviously you're really excited about the Cubs. I haven't sensed a lot of excitement coming from you about tomorrow night's game, or tonight's game.
Oh, yeah.
The Bears are also playing.
Yeah, but here's what I am excited for. Cheerleaders in costumes.
Yeah, we're guys.
Yeah, guys. We like cheerleaders. We got to see them. We got to see them. Them hotties.
What I really like
football.
I like it when they dress up as like nursery rhyme characters from back when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Although for grown-ups.
Yeah, just kind of like
little something for the adults out there.
Yeah, get your whole brain like, hey, I'm horny, but I'm also thinking like I'm 5 years old again.
So take care of me.
Whoa,
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
But yeah,
guys like. Things that remind them of like stuff their mom used to read to them.
Yeah, and little, twins.
Yeah, ooh, don't always. Get me started on the twins. God, love a little incest.
No, the Bears are going to lose to the Vikings. I'm pretty actually, I'm 100% confident in that.
I'm actually going to Chicago next weekend.
Yeah, for little rugby.
For the rugby game. Yeah,
big Soldier Field.
Shout out to Hank. We had this debate a while back. Rugby actually sold out Soldier Field. Before lacrosse did. So just a little check on your on your predictions.
Good on you.
Good on you. So yeah, I'm going to be there, and hopefully I'm going to get to see a little bit of the wrap-up of the parade.
The Cubs parade. I'll
send
see
you
there
a postcard.
Too. No, I'll be there. I'll be there with you. We'll go to Bird's Nest.
You're going to...
Not if the Cubs win. We'll be in Chicago. We'll be in the parade.
All right. Sounds good.
So also, just a one more note about the Monday Night Football game. I saw a quote. I think they asked Cutler, like, is John Fox confident in you? And his response is like, he has no choice. So
that's
kind of the vibe we're going with.
So Cutler's starting tomorrow.
We got no choice anymore.
Yeah,
anything.
I love some primetime Cutler. The thing I miss the most in the world is seeing those Broncos Chargers games when it was Cutler Rivers and they just scream at each other.
They're just making like poo poo faces at each other across the field.
No, it was seriously like 3 year olds sticking their tongues out.
That was a great rivalry that we got robbed of in the prime years.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Okay, let's do our regular Monday business. Let's start with our football guy of the week. We have a good list. First up, football guy of the week. Jim Harbaugh sitting front row in the bleachers at Wrigley with his glove. And it almost looked like he was making his wife sit like behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey,
I got
listen,
this.
Don't. Yeah. Well, more like you need to give me more space. Like I bought you a ticket, but you're going to have to stand because I bought your ticket just so that I could have two tickets and increase my odds by that percentage.
Of catching a foul ball.
Of catching a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would have been electric.
And I saw his dad, who looks exactly like Jim Harbaugh, by the way, was just as focused in on the game. Like, I guarantee you Jack wants to go home with foul ball, too.
Yeah, football guy who was also a baseball man
but
tonight.
Also, yeah, that's the one knock against it, though. If you're a football guy, I don't think that you can also be a baseball man because it says that you're not totally committed.
Okay.
Like, I could see if Jim Harbaugh went to that game wearing wide receiver's gloves, maybe haul one in.
Yeah.
But
with a ball?
Yeah. He shouldn't have any idea what any other piece of sporting equipment looks like.
That's fair. Did you see, by the way, just a sidetracked here, Terry Francona, baseball man, he said he couldn't sleep after game 4, and so he ordered $44 worth of ice cream at the hotel.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to defer to you on this one, but how does one order $44
worth of ice cream? Oh, I could get there. Have you ever been to those pay-by-the-pound soft serve places?
But that's
I get to like 25. Yeah, no. Yeah, so it would be more. Terry Francona, he has to have the worst teeth in the world, right?
Pretty bad.
He just eats ice cream and chew.
And bubble gum. He wraps the chew in bubble gum.
It's amazing.
What I think, so it's crystallizing a little bit. He was in his hotel room. He used like a Seamless or a delivery service.
Yeah.
Sent somebody out to like an ice cream soft serve place where they do it by the pound. And said, just like, give me 8 tubs.
Yeah.
It. That's the only way you can rack up $44.
2 scoops. I'm not driving.
Yeah.
Home alone. Home alone, too. Next football guy, we have Wade Phillips, who got in a collision, had to get carted off.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where the football guy comes in. Wave to the crowd.
And it was kind of a hilarious wave because his hands, God bless him, were strapped at his sides, at his little sides.
I think he got concussed.
And he was just like kind of moving his wrist around, yeah, trying to wave at the crowd.
Give him the thumbs up.
But yeah, it's too bad. I you hate to see that happen to Wade. And they originally reported that he had a broken leg.
Yeah.
I don't know how that gets mixed up, but the Broncos came back and they were like, no, his leg actually isn't broken. Yeah. I don't know how that report gets out there.
Well, they were trying to be like, hey, Wade doesn't have it. Because, I mean, I'd imagine Wade Phillips doesn't believe in concussions.
Right.
So, Wade probably was like, I can't, my eyes hurt and my head hurts.
He's like, tell him it's a lower body
yeah,
injury.
Yeah, oh, it's a broken leg.
Yeah.
Damn. Why am I seeing double? That's what happens when you break your leg.
I wouldn't be surprised if Wade Phillips has just walked around like a stress fracture in his leg for the last 5 years.
It's just, oh, shit, my leg kind of, pop a couple Tylenol.
Yeah, it's a major, trick leg situation.
Yeah.
I got trick, tells me when it's going to rain.
My leg's been asleep for 5 years. Yeah. It's no big deal, guys.
Also, they shoot horses when they break their legs. Yeah. I think it was one of those things where Wade was like,
don't shoot me.
Please don't shoot me. My leg's not broken.
Please, Doc. James Franklin gets football guy nominee. He gave his entire team juice boxes because he wanted to bring their own juice.
I love that.
That's great. It's a football guy move to just get very literal on everyone. Like, here is juice. Bring some juice.
What kind of juice was it? Was it Capri Sun or pouches?
High C, yeah.
I hope it wasn't pouches because pouches is not a football guy move.
No.
I hope, you know what I hope it was those barrel juices.
Yeah.
The ones that they used to give you in Little League, they aren't actually juice.
Yeah.
But they say barrel drink on them and everyone's like, oh, it's red, it's a juice. It's
the little grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a red juice.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're really juiced up there in Penn State. That's good. I'm trying to think of something else like, he gives everybody a pair of pants because he wants to see you play real buttoned up this week.
Yeah, perfect.
Football guy.
Yeah, football guy. Just get as literal as possible. Treat everyone like they're 4 years old. That's a football guy move. What did you have for Butch Jones?
Yeah, Butch Jones of Tennessee, he said, we learned the value of being ready versus the value of being prepared. So
Think about that for a second.
It's a little detail. And that's a football guy move to be like, hey, we didn't get our asses kicked. We were ready, but we were prepared.
Yeah.
Ready implies you're like kind of, it's quick. You're spontaneous. You're like, yeah, I'm ready, whatever. Prepared means, okay, I've done my film study this week. I know my assignments. So there's a big difference there. Thank you for Butch for clarifying that.
And then finally, I had Jay Gruden, who said that he didn't know there was overtime. He didn't know you could tie in overtime in the NFL,
mm-hmm,
which is a football guy move in itself because they just know about regulation. It's like you don't even think about overtime. That's not on the card.
You don't even know about time.
Yeah.
You're just playing what's in front of
that's
you.
That's an Andy Reid trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so focused on the next play, I can't be bothered to think for overtime.
Right.
And it also tells me that Jay, he doesn't watch football, right? He watches film, but he doesn't watch football. It's right. A big difference. He watches film on his next opponents. And it just so happens that none of his next opponents had ever tied before.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to understand that.
Right. So that's our Football Guy of the Week nominees. Shoot us if we missed any. We're doing this show very late.
Who do you got?
I have Wade Phillips.
Okay. I'm going with James Franklin. I love the juice boxes.
All right.
I'm going Franklin, too.
That's good. But I like Wade Phillips getting a concussion in his leg. I just think that's a real, real cool thing to do.
That's good.
So send us who you have for Football Guy of the Week. If we missed any, send it to us. Tweet us at Part of My Take. Let's do a quick Who's Back. Tiger Woods, Who's Back of the Week. Ready?
Yep.
You go.
I have the Bad Boy Raiders are back.
Oh, the Raiders. I like get sick every Monday from doing the Raiders.
Yeah. Same thing, but with a whoop. So I got the Raiders. The Bad Boys are back. The team of the
Silver
70s.
Silver and black.
Silver and black, that badass-looking pirate.
Mustache.
Yeah, the Al Davis Bad Boys are in town. They set a record for most penalties in a game.
Love it.
But you know what? Jack Del Rio, he's a hell of a coach.
Yep.
Ballsy Jack.
Yeah.
That's what they're starting to call him. He coached them to a win, even though the refs are, they're always against the Raiders. You know, the NFL hates the Raiders. Always have. That beef is still very much alive.
Al Davis.
Very much still going right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's who I got.
Okay. Hank, who do you have?
South Carolina. Big win over Tennessee. PFT told me we were doing hot seat, cool throne, so I prepared for that.
So, I don't know how that makes a difference.
Yeah, hot seat, cool throne's Wednesdays. So, who's on the hot seat in the cool?
Gus Johnson. Gus Bradley. It's fucking late. All right.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Okay. It's very late. We had to do like right, 5 hour Facebook Live. So
Hank has South Carolina, or did you say Clemson?
South Carolina.
There you go. South Carolina. Will Muschamp's back.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Who's back for me? This is actually a Tuesday. Who's back? The show's on Monday, but it's going to be for Tuesday. I'm leaving you guys an off day nugget. Discounted candy. After Halloween, who's back?
Yeah, that's some next level thinking there.
You go into your now that we're New Yorker, we're New Yorkers. You're Dwayne Reed.
You go into the bodega.
You go into Dwayne Reed and it's 50% off your Snickers bars.
Hey, get this fucking candy off my shelves, huh? Give you a discount on it.
Yeah. So discounted candy, love it. I love going in, just being picking it all up. It's the day after Halloween and the day after Easter.
Okay, let me ask you this: are you more of a candy guy or a salted snacks guy?
Both.
If you had to pick one.
Both.
I'm big time salted
treat I like
guy.
To switch back and forth, like chip, chocolate.
Ooh,
chip,
little
chocolate,
both.
Chip, chocolate, chip, chocolate.
Duality
Boom.
Of man.
I gained 40 pounds in 1 year.
Okay.
It happens that fast.
That's
Life
pretty,
comes at you fast when you go chip chocolate all the time.
That's a pretty good who's back, and even more impressive is the fact that you shoehorned it in, even though it wasn't going to happen until tomorrow.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm leaving a little extra nugget for the listeners, an extra day to get you ready for your who's back discount.
So, in other words, the Cubs aren't back?
Nope, not yet.
Okay.
I didn't want to go too easy, but they are back. They're totally back. And the Bears might be back. You got an ad for us?
Yeah. Let's talk about gambling. It is the best. I love it. You love it. Everyone in this room loves it. For those of us who live and love sports, the summer, the fall, the winter, all great times to be a gambler. Major League Baseball playoffs going. You've got the UFC getting some great fights going in the next couple weeks. The NFL. You've got everything. You've got the Trump versus Clinton election providing us with all the free comedy we can handle. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan, and an even better time to join us at BetDSI.com. I play there myself. They're A-plus rated on most sportsbook review sites. They've got great service. They're going to give you odds on pretty much everything, including all the great sports we know and love. I myself wet the beak a little bit tonight. I blow-dried my beak tonight and lost the over-under on Cowboys-Eagles, but I won the Cowboys covering that spread in overtime. Thanks for not kicking a field goal. And I wet my beak at BetDSI.com. They've got a great, quick, mobile-friendly website. It's extremely easy to use. Playing there makes watching games a lot more intriguing, that's for sure. And as a part of my take, listener, BetDSI is currently running a great promotion where you actually get to try them out for free. So just go to BetDSI.com, use promo code TAKE10, that's all caps, TAKE10. You get $10 for free. You can play it on any sporting event, any world event happening now, including the election. Once again, that is promo code TAKE10. Use that promo code and you'll be ready for some extracurricular fun watching games when you have a bit of extra interest on them. Courtesy of BetDSI.com.
All right, let's do a great talk with Mike Florio, catch up on some football stuff. We got all kinds of nuggets in there, some Dallas Cowboys, some wire ratings down. Let's do it right now. All right, we now welcome on Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. He's a recurring guest. Mike, thank you for taking some time with us Sunday night. Let's start with the question that's on everyone's mind. Why are the ratings so low, and is the NFL dead? Done or finished? Let's do it that way. Done or finished, NFL.
Done or finished? Probably neither at this point. Look,
that wasn't an option.
I hope this isn't their attitude, though. I hope this isn't their attitude, that there's plenty more where that came from as they see the ratings dwindle. That they still do have a strong presence, but it's down. And they need to figure out why it's down. And they've got the money and they've got the resources and they've got the smart people who make a lot of money who should figure out why the ratings are down and what they can do to fix it. They can speculate all they want, and I just hope there's a disconnect between what they say publicly and what they're saying privately. Publicly, they can put on a stiff upper lip. Privately, they need to be saying, what the hell's going on here and how do we fix it?
And so if you had to maybe pick one or two things to point to why the ratings are down, can you throw them out at us?
I think one reality is the games haven't been very good. And it's just bad luck when you drop the schedule in April. The games in prime time generally look good because
yeah, Titans Jaguars at first pass that was one that I circled.
Other than that one, but and that's the problem with Thursday night football. If you're going to play football every Thursday night, and every team is going to play one Thursday night game a year where they have to play on a Sunday and then play on a Thursday, you're going to have that. You can't have the Cowboys and the Patriots every Thursday night and every primetime game. You're going to have some crappy primetime games. But even Jaguars-Titans, when you're 0-0 and there's high expectations for the Jaguars, and they played a really exciting game last year, maybe this year it wasn't going to be crap. And that the problem is, more often than not, the primetime games have been crap. And you can take any given Sunday afternoon, all those games they play at 1 o'clock Eastern, and there are some games that are just crap. And if that was the only game on at that time, we'd be saying, man, this is crap. And there are some that are really good. And it's just luck of the draw that you get good games in primetime or bad games. And the bad luck this year in part has been there's been a lot of bad games in primetime.
My idea was to just take Thursday night and just have the AFC South own Thursday night, like how Mac does with like Tuesday night football games. Just have that be the crap night and just have it be like a cycle of the Titans, Jaguars, Colts, Texans. So you get your shit out of the way, but at least that's branded as Thursday night shit.
Yeah, but I think the goal is to get people to watch. I mean, that's the only flaw in your logic.
All right, well, I guess that's a good point. What about, okay, maybe the problem's been solved this weekend. There was a dildo on the field in Buffalo. Is that going to bring the ladies in, like increase female viewership?
I thought of you guys and wondered whether you have an alibi for that.
I was on a flight.
Flying over Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Yeah.
Are we sure there wasn't like a Pardon My Take logo on that thing somewhere?
We don't make dildos, but we should.
Ooh.
It's a great idea for the female fit. Little treats.
Yeah. We're sex positive. What about the ties? Do we have a tie problem?
Well, I mean, we've had ties in consecutive weeks for the first time since 1997, and they don't happen very often. Look, I didn't like the sudden death approach to the postseason, and I argued very loudly against continuing with the ability of a team to win the toss, receive the kick, get two or three first downs, kick a field goal, win the game, and end someone's season in the postseason. But they got the bright idea when they decided to change that rule that they needed it not just for the postseason but for the regular season. I think the regular season, it doesn't make sense because it is conducive to ties, especially what we saw last Sunday night. One team goes down, gets a field goal. The other team goes down, gets a field goal. You got, 6 minutes left to break the tie. Now, that didn't factor in Sunday in the Washington-Cincinnati game, but I think they need to have a different approach. And, frankly, I wouldn't have a problem with them ripping up the current overtime system and just going with the college approach. That works. The games are exciting. And I don't think anyone's ever complained that the college system is not a good system.
I agree with that. I actually like college football's overtime. And out of nowhere, Mike Greenberg started complaining about it like 2 weeks ago. And I had no idea what that was about. But I would much rather see every team get the ball at the 25.
It's also, for all the degenerate gamblers out there, it's like a last-ditch prayer for the over.
Yeah, you can rack up like 28 points.
Right. So that's why I love the college football overtime. I have a little conspiracy theory that I'm actually going to – this is a little – teaser for the end of the show. Everyone stick around for the tie. What about right now, we're taping this during Sunday Night Football. Dak Prescott, is Tony Romo going to really come back and take his job with how he's, you know, quarterback this team?
Well, I think it depends on how well Dak Prescott continues to play. The Cowboys are trying to have the best of both worlds here, and for now they're taking the position that Tony Romo won't play until he's healthy, and I think they're delaying as long as they can the definition of when he's going to be healthy. Now, at some point when he really is healthy and they can't deny it any longer, they're going to have to make a decision. And if Dak Prescott continues to win games, then the decision is you roll with a hot hand. And the challenge for them is going to be knowing when to switch back to Romo. You know, they could ride this thing all the way into the playoffs, and Prescott is great, and then he encounters some hardship against a team like the Falcons or the Vikings or the Packers in a playoff game. At halftime, are you going to be ready to go with Tony Romo at that point, or are you going to stick with Dak Prescott? So there's going to be a tough decision that they're going to run into probably at some point in a big game if they stick with Prescott. And I think they are going to stick with Prescott as long as he keeps doing well. He's looked good so far in what we've seen on Sunday night. And if he keeps getting it done, you know, they've been so intent on finding the successor to Tony Romo. I think they're thrilled that they have a guy that's going to take over at some point. The question is how they're going to pass the baton. And it may be that the baton is just getting ripped out of Tony Romo's hand.
I would say that would be an all-time lunatic move if it was like a playoff game and it was halftime and they just switched quarterbacks at halftime. That, to me, would scream Jerry Jones making that decision. In your opinion, is it going to be Jerry Jones making the call or is it going to be Ferguson, a.k.a. Jason Garrett?
No, listen, here's what's going on in Dallas. It's season one of The Sopranos where Tony let Junior think that Junior's still in charge and Junior really wasn't in charge. And that's what's been going on for at least two or three years in Dallas. I think it started really with Manziel, that, you know, they let Jerry be the face of the franchise and let Jerry go out there and hobnob and say crazy things from time to time, which I love the guy because he's great for the sport. He's a hell of a, you know, a salesman and a showman. But when it's time to make big decisions, it's Stephen Jones and Jason Garrett that make the decisions, and they otherwise let Jerry think he's running the show.
So who's Jerry going to shoot?
Well, yeah. I mean, you make sure you don't leave any guns laying around, and everything will be fine.
What about Stephen Jones? Is he veto? Is he going to do little Johnny cakes?
No,
you walked into that one, Mike. Come on. No, that's just me being a reporter.
You're being a fangool over there.
Yeah. Gumas.
Mike, I got to say, you're not doing much to dispel the stereotype of Italian-Americans by making all these Sopranos references.
I made one.
Yeah. It was a pretty deep reference, though.
So, Mike, Monday Night Football, Vikings, your Vikings, my Bears. Talk to me about this new report that basically the Bears ownership is going to can John Fox, and they're allegedly evaluating every position. Now, does that include themselves? Because they probably should fire themselves.
Well, that's the one thing. You know, the only owner that's ever suggested accountability for the owner was Jed York. And when he did, people said, well, wait a minute, how do you hold an owner accountable? You can't make the guy sell the team. And I think a lot of the problems in Chicago since really 85, when that team fell apart, they have not been a consistent contender. And a lot of people are pointing to ownership or to Ted Phillips or whoever. And it's just a revolving door otherwise. And I'm surprised they were as good as they were under Lovie Smith, considering how he flamed out in Tampa. And it's not going very well for him in his first year at Illinois. But, you know, they look like they were going to be a little resurgent 5-6 years ago. But now there's, you know, Phil Emery hiring Mark Trestman instead of Bruce Arians. And just hiring Phil Emery was not a good move. And I thought it would work with John Fox and Ryan Pace, but it's just not there. It's just not happening. It's supposed to be John Fox in his second year has, you know, a strong season. It happened in Carolina. It happened in Denver. But it's falling apart now. And when any ownership group reportedly is considering evaluating all positions, you know, I wonder whether or not they're just going to try to tank. Not that I think they shouldn't. But, if you're not going to make the playoffs, put all your rookies in, have a crappy record, and get yourself in position to draft the franchise quarterback.
Well, I think they are tanking, but they're not trying to tank, which is – it's actually, like,
they're
working
not
out.
Deliberately tanking.
Yeah, they're trying, but they're still so bad that they're tanking effectively.
Yeah, and it could be that if they try to tank, then they would be good. But
right, exactly. That would be all
I have
very
no
Bears.
Problem with philosophically – and I know the NFL would go crazy if anybody ever admitted to this, but the Buccaneers essentially did it 2 years ago to get the first overall pick. They were leading – against New Orleans, they benched half the team and they blew the lead and they got the number one overall pick and nobody ever said boo about it. And I think a temptation is there to tank, and hell, I would do it. I would find a way to do it. Look at the difference every year. We say, oh, this team picked at number 10. If they had only been a few spots higher, they could have gotten this guy or that guy. And I think it makes a huge difference when you're trying to build a contender over the long haul.
I want to play a quick game here. It's called Who's the Fraud? Okay. I'm going to list some teams. You tell me if they're frauds or not. The Raiders.
Not
a fraud. Falcons.
Not.
Bengals.
Fraud.
Frauds. Big
Ooh.
Frauds in Cincy.
Frauds.
The Browns. Meaning, like, maybe they're not as bad as we think that they are.
Yeah. Well, here's what concerns me about the Browns.
Everything?
Hugh Jackson is a good coach. And I think Hugh Jackson is the right guy. But if they go 0-16, and today may have been their last best chance to win a game over the Jets, they're already halfway to 0-16. If he goes 0-16, how do you bring him back? That's my concern. Now, if Jimmy Haslam brings him back, I respect him for it because I think things are going to turn around. But it's like that tattoo on Rod Marinelli's head from 2008 with the Lions. He's never going to be a head coach again. They couldn't have kept him under those circumstances. Can't go winless.
Yeah.
So I hope Hugh gets another chance because I think they will turn it around if they stick with him.
Is that done with the frauds? Because I have one more.
That's done with the frauds.
Oh, the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, frauds.
Ooh. But come on, give us the answer. Because we actually – so on this show, we have a long-standing debate because I thought the trade for Sam Bradford was a very good trade. I think it's going to put the Vikings – now, I mean, I could see a world where they get to the Super Bowl. But PFT is on the other side of the spectrum, and he thinks that...
By the way, you can't call me PFT when Mike's on the phone.
Okay, yeah. So PFT said, Mad Dog said that Sam Bradford will eventually either get hurt
or, you know, turn back into Sam Bradford, and the Vikings will be shit out of luck.
Yeah, now here's what will happen. And look, I grew up a Vikings fan. You don't fall into this business based upon a passion for football if you don't have a favorite team. Right now, I hate all teams equally. But I've seen the Vikings enough times in this situation where I know what's going to happen. They're going to find a way to blow it, and maybe in a spectacular fashion, maybe like they did in 2009 against the Saints in the NFC Championship game, maybe like they did against the Falcons in 1998. Either way, they're going to find a way to blow it. It's either going to be the offensive line that crumbles at the worst possible time and gets Sam Bradford killed, or it's going to be Blair Walsh missing another field goal.
No, we fixed Blair Walsh. So
no, he's fixed.
Might want to fix your sources on that one because he's good.
You think he's fine?
Yeah, we fixed him. He's fine now.
We told him it's not his fault. He cried.
Oh, well,
we cried.
That doesn't say. Yeah.
There's cheering going on in the background. So.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a question?
Yeah. Is the 18-game regular season going to happen within the next 5 years?
You know, there's a chance it will if the NFL makes enough concessions to the union. The last time I talked to somebody at the union about it, I did not get the no way in hell, we're never going to do it, it's never going to happen. I got the, well, you know, we haven't gotten a proposal yet, and we'd have to expand rosters, and we'd have to consider any proposal they'd want to make. And that doesn't sound to me like there's no way we're ever going to do it. So I think they're willing to listen. And if there's a way to ensure that the player health and safety will be roughly the same as it is now, I don't know how you do that. If you got a guy that plays 18 games instead of 16 games, there's two more games where he's going to potentially get injured. But I think if there's a way that they can address that issue.
Let the players use steroids in the last two games.
Well, I mean, that would be one way to do it, I guess. But I think that it's something the NFL really wants to do. And if they're willing to give the players what they want in order to do it, it's going to happen.
Okay, here's my suggestion. Last two games get added on, and you can throw whatever kind of sex toy you want onto the field. Boom. Ratings problem solved.
I mean, but that's already happened. They don't need to expand the regular season.
But those will be the sex toy games. The
dildo bowl. Don't you have a feeling that that's going to become a thing, especially if you guys start selling them with, pardon my take, logos on them?
Yes.
Yeah. Now I do.
Mike, you keep asking for that. I don't know, man.
I just think that.
Oh, here's what we do. Okay, we sell a sex toy for men called the Mike Flory Hole.
Oh, boom. That's a great idea.
$1 million.
Yeah. Are you cool with that? Can we license your name like that?
I've already registered the trademark. Sorry, guys.
Yes, that's
assist.
Fine. You can do it. It's fine. This is Mike Florio. Hey, it's me, Mike Florio.
Okay, Mike, do we have anything else?
That's it.
All right, Mike, we really appreciate it. You're one of our favorite recurring guests. We really do need to get you in New York in the studio so we get you an exit interview.
You know what? I know exactly when I'm going to be in New York next. We'll figure it out.
Okay. All right, we'll see you then. Thanks again, Mike.
All right.
Mike's interview was brought to you by Simply Safe. Ever find yourself almost all the way to work? Or maybe you're out with family and friends and you get that nagging feeling. Did I close that window? Did I lock that door? To be honest, I don't know if my home is locked up right now. But I'm not worried about it because we've got Simply Safe home security at my place. It's just a nice extra layer of protection to know Simply Safe is there. Simply Safe has an arsenal of sensors to protect your entire home and keep your family safe. Simply Safe got rid of everything that makes most home security such a pain. There's no long-term contracts, no hidden fees. They won't gouge you. It's just $14.99 a month. That's three times less than what other companies charge. So protect your home the smart way. Visit simplysafepmt.com. Go right now, and you'll also get your free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. It takes only a minute. SimplySafePMT.com. Do that right now. Make sure that your loved ones and all your valuables are protected. Visit SimplySafePMT.com right now. You'll get that free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. SimplySafePMT.com. Do it. Let's get to some segments. We have a healthy list of segments today, so let's go right to them. We got the PR 101 for our guy Geronimo Allen from the Packers. He is a rookie, and on Sunday he had a big touchdown catch. Kind of became America's darling because he was it was the Fox game of the week, so everyone was watching. And then what happens usually in these situations when the unknown has all of a sudden a breakout game? People find his old tweets.
Got to go through the tweets. And check him out.
And boy, was he a tweeter. So here are a couple things from Geronimo Allen's Twitter. If you have kids listening to this show, make sure you turn it up so that a little. We'll do the birds and the bees for you, so you don't have to parent. So first one, if I'm hitting you from the back and you got your head in my MF pillows like you trying to go through my damn bed, ho, yo pussy ain't shit.
Okay, fair.
So I think that means that he's gonna hit it pretty good, pretty hard. What two females want to fuck me at the same time tomorrow night before I leave for college?
You think he had actually like girls responding to that, being like, "Yeah, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on a date."
I wonder if Iowa females got that drip drop wet wet pussy.
What I love about that is referring to women who live in Iowa like it's a species.
Yeah,
like a Canada goose.
Yeah,
I wonder if these Iowa females
drip drop.
They got that drip.
Drip drop wet wet pussy. Is that a thing people say, Hank? Drip drop?
Yeah, the drip drop wet pussy.
If I put the tip of my dick in ya and you rip off half my damn tank top, ho, yo pussy ain't shit. He's big into judging pussies and their quality.
I don't understand what that last one means.
I don't either.
I don't really understand the first one.
No, I got the first one loud and clear. Basically meant like I'm having sex with you. We're doing it now.
Yeah.
We're really doing it.
Yeah, disco for all the hoes who think they pussy the shit. So that's a nice shout out.
Mm-hmm.
A little shout out. We do shout outs on the show. Similar.
So yeah, people dug up his old tweets. And I mean, this was a treasure trove, obviously.
Yeah.
Geronimo's really into locker room talk.
Yep.
That's what we learned from this
one. Big time.
So my PR 101, you can say, hey, it's 2016. I'm just being sex positive here.
Good point. People don't need to be judging.
They're slut shaming him,
right? Ooh, slut shaming is a good one. So unfortunately, the Packers lost. So because my PR 101 was going to be if he got back on Twitter right when he, you know, because this is the best part is we're watching a dead person run around the field.
Yeah, it has Justine landed yet? Yeah. But it's like has Geronimo lost and gone back to his phone yet?
He has no idea that all of America is looking at his drip drop wet wet pussy tweets.
He seems like a guy, since he's still a rookie, he hasn't really been blown up on Twitter that much, didn't have that many followers before the game. This could be a situation where he gets to his phone and it's dead because of all the notifications that he got during the game. So he's even gonna have to wait to plug in his phone and let it recharge, and then he's gonna see, oh shit.
Right. So unfortunately they did lose, because if the Packers had won, my PR 101 was gonna be we just, you know, ripped up that Atlanta Falcon pussy or something like that. Got to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Just become next move is just to lead them all.
Become the pussy guy.
Yeah, yeah. See, if he wants to be the pussy guy, he could be the pussy guy. UJizz is going to offer him. You know, Browser's going to offer him a contract to do a porn. Yep. That's always some good publicity.
Got
to
take it.
Just be the. Unfortunately, I think he's going to just probably delete all these tweets and hope that
and act like it didn't happen.
Yeah,
yeah. Act like his boss. Well, he's got what like 500,000 owners to answer. How many owners does he have?
A lot.
That's a lot of owners to answer.
Whole entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so that's going to be tough for him. Alternatively, you could just date someone or marry someone.
Preferably right away.
Marry somebody who's a little bit crazier than you are and mm-hmm. has a weirder Twitter account. It's the Meeko Grimes situation.
Yep.
I don't even know if Brent Grimes has a Twitter account, because Meeko's is that over the top and insane.
Yes.
So if you were to just marry somebody that was crazy, like here we go. Marry Tila Tequila.
Oh.
And
she's a Nazi.
Yeah, she's insane.
She's part of Aryan Nation. Yeah. As an Asian person.
Yeah, so just marry her, and then all your that pussy problems are gone.
You could also just have a kid right away, because family men, I mean,
have a daughter.
Right. Like, hey, I'm not the pussy guy anymore because I have a daughter mm-hmm. and I have a kid, and you see my family, post a lot of pictures of that. You could also do our old-time PR 101 with Twitter problems. Start the foundation Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And start tweeting pussy tweets from there and be like, well, it was my cousin who was tweeting the pussy. He's the pussy guy. I'm not the pussy guy. And so he's been running my Twitter the whole time.
Yeah. He just write your next tweet. All tweets from Geronimo Allen are signed G.A.
Yeah.
So that way they know that it wasn't you.
Who's the pussy guy?
Who's the pussy guy? Alternatively, you could also change your name from Geronimo to Mo, because Mo screams, I'm the pussy guy.
Mo Allen is a pussy guy.
Mo Allen's a big pussy guy.
And that's the other thing that kills for this guy, because Geronimo is a very it's a unique name. So people are gonna we're always gonna remember Geronimo Allen, the pussy guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we came up with a lot of good suggestions.
We did. You have a put one in their in his ear hole from college football this weekend.
I do, and this one goes out to James Madison University's coach, Jeff Houston, JMU, Division I AA, FCS, whatever they're calling it this week. So they were up 84-7 against Rhode Island with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Their running back broke away and took a knee at the one-yard line. Okay?
Mm.
On like a 30-yard run.
Sucks for fantasy for all you college football Division
I, all you JMU
AA.
Trey Sharp owners yeah. out there. So what they did right after that, they have first and goal from the one, up by like 80 points, and then they take four consecutive knees, and they turn the ball over intentionally.
Mm.
And they refuse to score 100 points. Put one in that coach's ear hole. That's going to come back to haunt him in the computers.
Yeah.
We know that computers,
BCS.
They mean something, mm-hmm. I think. So that's going to hurt them in the polls. Basically, it's really tearing down the name James Madison, because James Madison was probably our nation's grittiest president.
Okay.
He would never quit like
I got
that.
Nothing to back that up, but I'm
going
to
say
yes.
Well, he was short.
Yes.
He made Rudy look like a giant.
Short, but how short?
He was 5'0", 100-nothing pounds.
That was kind of big back in the day. People got taller.
Yeah, that's true.
They get hotter and taller.
Okay, so maybe that point isn't correct. Maybe James Madison was like the Fabio of his time.
Yeah, right.
But at the very least, like, their coach right now is a quitter, because you have the opportunity to score 100 points.
Yeah.
And you don't take it?
Come on. Well, it's not that. It's that if you're a football guy, you play the card.
You act like it's 0-0 every
right.
single play.
Right, exactly. Right? Nick Saban would put up 100.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah, he's getting – you know what happened? Coach got caught looking at the scoreboard.
Yep. Nick Saban is puking right now because James Madison coach left points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Don't never do that.
No, you can't do it.
It's
like, have you ever run into somebody who grew up during the Great Depression?
Yeah.
And they, like, your neighbor comes over to your house with like a quarter can of cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah, they say,
like, I was going to throw this out.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Saban would physically murder a football coach for not scoring those
yeah,
points.
Yeah, they like reuse tinfoil.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah. Saban wild reuses stuff. Points.
Yeah. Travel complaint. We haven't had one of these in a long time, but Jay Billis, he went in on American Airlines, and not only did he go in on American Airlines, but he went in for his sister. Kind of white knight, little bit of a white knight situation.
Little SJW.
Yeah, trying to show everyone that he's sibling of the year or something, but he got in like a 15-tweet fight with American Airlines. He started with, American Airlines delayed my sister's flight 7 hours out of OC into SDF 2 days ago. Today she finds her reservation home canceled. Nice.
Mm.
Sounds like that was a sarcastic
nice. Yeah, the nice was not actually nice. That's an old journalist trick by Jay.
He also pulled, this is my favorite trick by journalists, when in the throes of a fight with an airline, he threatened to go to another airline. He mm-hmm. said, after this nightmare trip, my sister believes flying Delta will help more.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is just mention a different airline.
Get them in a fight against each other.
Yeah, a bidding war.
I would like to see airlines out there start hopping in. Like, Delta should have hopped in there and been like, hey, we'll always take care of your sister, Jay Billis.
Little stay woke out there for you. I think all of these airlines are actually run by the same company. Because is there any difference between Delta and US and American?
No.
There's not, right? So they're all run by the same company. That's why you never see somebody. It's like honor amongst thieves, kind of, except there's one giant thief at the top, just one guy that controls all the planes out there.
Yep.
And so that's why you never see Delta jumping in, because if you were a good marketer, you would absolutely capitalize on journalists complaining about airlines.
Yes.
You would. If I ran an airline, I would just call myself Journalist Air, and I would have all first-class seats, and it would be all for journalists.
And anytime someone complained, you just hop in and just be like, sup.
Respect.
Heard
this.
You got a problem.
Yeah.
We're here to help.
Also, you know who else isn't a big threat guy? The Seahawks. I just remembered that. The Seahawks, after their game, they were complaining about the officiating against the Saints.
Yes.
They pulled a journalist trick, which is, I'm not a complaint about the official guy,
but
the officials were terrible.
Yeah. If I were to say something,
yeah,
it would be that, listen, just call it both ways, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those ones. I'm not going to complain about the officials. They can call it however they want. But
be
just
consistent.
Consistency.
Yeah.
That's all we ask for is consistency, which is the classy way of complaining about the refs.
Yeah.
You have a sabermetrics for us.
I do. And this is going to be kind of controversial. So I apologize in advance to you guys. Sorry, not sorry. I think LSU's fucked this week.
Oh,
I really do.
Oh, no.
My sabermetrics is you can't give Coach O 2 weeks to do anything. Coach O has to have a game a week. If he doesn't, If he has a bye week, then okay, I'll put it this way. You can't have back-to-back no repeat Thursdays. That doesn't make sense, right?
Okay.
It's kind of a repeating situation.
Yeah, that's repeating. You get caught in like a wormhole.
Coach O is a simple coach, right? He's a downhill kind of guy. You don't spend 14 days studying 2 + 2 = 4. That's too long to study that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just drive yourself insane.
Yeah.
So with Coach O's mentality, I feel like this is the week it all comes apart.
Oof. Well, we said that he was good for 4 weeks, so 4 against the spread, and that Florida game that got canceled might screw that up.
Mm-hmm.
But this should be the fourth, and Hank and I are going to be there, so I'm going to bring some extra juju
okay.
for Coach
O. You do that, because they say gumbo gets better in 7 days,
yeah,
but it spoils in 14.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I say that.
Okay. Respect the biz. We had a from the Cubs, from the World Series, Paul Sullivan, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, who anyone in Chicago knows has been a beat writer for, I think, since the last time the Cubs were in the World Series. He went all in on a Respect the Biz on Mad Dog. What's his name? Chris Mad Dog Russo? Is that his name?
Yep.
I love, love, love any sort of sports guy, sports talk guy that has a nickname Mad Dog.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a name that that'll be good for the next like 50 years. If you come out, if you give your son the nickname Mad Dog, he's going to bunt a lot in Little League and he's going to become a sports talk radio host.
I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but the Mad Dog and Big Cat show would be electric.
That would be pretty good.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay, now you got me thinking. Like,
yeah.
PFT Commodore is kind of a shitty name.
Maybe
Mad Dog and Big
maybe,
Cat.
Maybe we get that other pinky toe fixed. Would be a real shame if something happened, if you came out of the...
Something to pause?
No, if you came out of the surgery speaking Spanish and being Mad Dog.
El gato, or not gato, el perro. How do you say mad?
Insano.
El perro loco.
El perro loco.
Perro loco. I love it.
So, Paul, he went in on Mad Dog by tweeting a picture of him, shaming him, and he said, this loudmouth screaming about Bucks Raiders game in the press box. Thanks, MLB Network. And then a follow-up, zoomed-in pic, it just said, clown.
Now, do you think that he was just messing with his buddy? Like,
no,
do you think him and Mad Dog are friends?
No, Paul.
This sounds
no,
like
no.
an old school, like,
no.
yeah, we're journos, but we're also buddies.
No, Paul Sullivan, he's been, he is the guy who he never, you know how most, you know, beat writers, then they'll become radio hosts or columnists or they'll graduate to that next level. Paul Sullivan never went to that next level, so he is very much the cop in the press box. Talking too loudly. Guys cheering for teams, clowns.
And what, this was happening during the Cubs
game? It was like 5 hours before the
game. Oh, 5 hours before,
yeah.
During batting practice.
Yes.
He was trying to see how
clown.
Schwarber was hitting.
Clown.
Yeah.
Clown. He's a clown.
Those are two things that people don't call each other enough anymore is clown and a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Those are also two big like sports radio guys.
Yes.
Yeah. But you're sure he wasn't just messing with his buddy Matt?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure Paul Sullivan would get pissed about that.
I didn't know that there are a lot of things that I have yet to learn about being a sports guy. And I feel like the rules of the press box are still, it's a gray area for me.
It's very, yeah.
I didn't know that you're not allowed to talk about other sports.
It's a funeral. It's a funeral.
So you just
treat
keep
it
your
funeral
mouth,
rules.
Keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Give each other like a solemn nod.
Yeah.
Wear black.
Yeah. Well, actually, Mad Dog was wearing his black turtleneck, so
ooh.
Maybe he was respecting the biz more than Paul was. I also, just a quick shout out, respect the biz. Grantland officially died a year ago today, and as we all know, it was the greatest website that's ever been created. No flaws. The most amazing place on earth. And rip Grantland.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. We have a new segment. If the season ended today.
Yeah.
I like this one.
It's good. And it's going to give us a lot of good stuff to talk about. Today's if the season ended today is if the season ended today, the Golden State Warriors would not be in the playoffs.
Ooh. That's a good one. If the season ended today, we're taping this before the Cubs game. If the season ended today, there would be no World Series champion.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
weird. Vacated title.
So if the season ended today, the Cubs are undefeated in the World Series in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
If the season ended today, Edmonton would have the one seed in the Western Conference, the NHL. Is Edmonton back?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure back.
If the season ended today, there would be no slam dunk champion either.
Oh, okay.
For the first time in a long time.
Yeah, since like the early 80s,
yeah.
Right? Wow. Hank, if the season ended today, Gronk would end up with 69 touchdowns.
Yep.
Okay. I have a stay woke. Let's finish the show with that.
Okay.
You guys ready for it? It's actually connect the dots. Okay, I've been working really hard on this.
A lot of hype around the Stay Woke.
Okay. Yeah, all Big right. Cat's been talking about it. Can we get a quick rundown on the difference between Stay Woke and Connect the Dots?
Well, it's so Stay Woke is when we're being fleeced by something. I think Connect the Dots is when it's like a big...
investigative journalism.
Yeah, investigative journalism. I've done some investigations. So we've had two ties, right, in the NFL. We almost had three. We've had two ties for the first time since 1997, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The NFL also has a little image problem. Can we all admit that? Can we all say that's fair?
Sure.
Yeah? Ratings down. Image problem. Probably got to fix something. Okay. Ties. You know what Roger Goodell is going to do? He's going to change a rule so there can't be any more ties.
He comes riding in on the stallion to save America. I love it. This is great.
Simple, simple rule change. And here's how I stumbled upon this. These teams are tying on purpose. Roger Goodell has the kickers in his back pocket, okay? The Seahawks-Cardinals game on Monday night, they missed there was two missed field goals in overtime of 30 yards or less. Kickers are hitting 94% on the season.
So what are the
30
odds?
Yards or less.
Yeah.
Okay? There's been five missed field goals in the entire season, 30 yards or less, and two of them happened in the same game. You're going to tell me that? Two of them?
Within like a minute of each
other. Yeah. Today, the Bengals game, kickers are kicking 93% field goals from 40 yards or less. Huh. Another one missed so that the game could end in a tie. And now here's where it all started to connect, okay? The Bucks-Raiders game did not end in a tie. But Sebastian Janikowski, arguably one of the best kickers in NFL history, missed two field goals in that game.
Oh, wow.
Two. And the game didn't end in a tie. Why? Because there was a touchdown. So Roger Goodell doesn't have the position players. He doesn't have the position players in his back pocket, but he's got them kickers.
Roberto Aguayo missed an extra point and a field goal, and he was a second-round pick, which means he's like probably the second-best kicker of all time.
Yes.
So, Can't dispute the facts here, Big Cat.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't be shocked if there's another tie this year, another missed field goal that's pretty easy to hit, and then, around the Super Bowl time, Roger Goodell does his press conference. Hey, listen, guys, we're changing the overtime rules. We're going to do college overtime now. No ties.
No more ties. That would be an easy one.
The NFL's back.
That reminds me of in like a sitcom where two people are dating and this one guy wants to make sure that like he can be the knight in shining armor, so he hires his friend to like fake mug his girlfriend so that he can beat him up, and it always ends badly.
I'm just saying, listen, I'm just connecting a few dots. The NFL has an image problem. Everyone's saying Roger Goodell has to do something. He's going to fix the ties. Get another tie. I'm telling you, we're getting another tie.
I love it. One more segment. The kicker psychologist.
Oh, yes.
Is it psychiatrist or is it kicker psychology?
Same thing.
Kicker psychologist.
Yeah.
Couch.
Aguayo.
Let's put Aguayo on there.
Aguayo.
Have we done Aguayo yet?
I think we have, okay.
He was the inspiration for this, at the very least. So he's missing everything. So we got to fix what's wrong with him. I think he needs to actually go out there and smoke some peyote. They talk about visualization all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to visualize your shot, and then you'll hit it. He actually needs to hallucinate. Maybe have a bad trip. Maybe like screw up the signals in his brain a little bit. So people forget that Janikowski, when he was a rookie, he was pretty bad too.
Yes.
And then, if you remember, he got caught
smoking crack.
No, he got caught with GHB in his car.
Same thing.
And he was like, "It's for me."
Yeah.
They're like, sir, this is a date rape drug. And he's like, "No, I take for me." It's for me.
Just tossing this one out there. He doesn't have to get it, but what if he just goes to the doctor and gets tested for MSRA?
Ooh.
Remember that thing that was going around the Bucks when people's legs were falling off? So maybe, he's got like a little, I don't know if you can catch like a little bit of MSRA.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how you get, like, you don't have a full fever, you just got a little cold.
Yeah.
So
you can definitely do that. Or you don't see it a lot with special teams coaches, but I feel like the special teams coach needs to be fired.
Yeah.
So just throw him under the bus and be like, I need, it was the coaching that was making me kick these field goals 5 yards to the left.
I like it. I think
Hey, Roberto. It's not your fault.
Hey, it's not your fault.
It's not. Look at me.
It's not your fault.
Look at me. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. You have a bacteria. It's called MSRA. It's not your fault. We solve problems on the show. quick shout out before we go. Let's have everyone subscribe on iTunes. Follow us on Pardon My Take Twitter. Follow us on the Instagram. We had so many people dress as Pardon My Take for Halloween. It was fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
So go to the Instagram at Pardon My Take. See all the Halloween costumes. Some of them were like mind-blowingly accurate. Also, kind of a wake-up call for me.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, seeing all the women out there dressed up as me and actually not looking that much different from the way that I do.
Yeah.
That's, hey, maybe I need to get down to makeup.
Eesh. It's a little too easy to be us. So that one I'm going to have to fix. I think we're both going to have to fix.
It's definitely a bad visual.
Yeah.
The best one, though, was the guy dressed up as Hank, just wearing like a Free Brady shirt.
Yeah, yeah. That's easy as well. And finally, a quick shout out to Charles. I met him at the Cubs game 4. He is an award-winning listener, and he's just started chemo for a tumor. So, Charles, stay strong. Thinking about you, buddy, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Love you guys.